You're listening to the Spiritual Love Podcast, helping you tune in to the frequency of love. The Spiritual Love Podcast is a podcast for women who want to get real about love and relationships while also focusing on healing, inner peace, and wellness. Through conversations and insights about love, dating, relationships, all matters of the heart, and more. I'm your host, Giovanna Tisdale, better known as the Spiritual Love Healer. I'm an intuitive healer, spiritual guide, and coach here to help you heal your heart so you can magnetize and manifest the love that you desire and deserve. Peace and beautiful blessings, and welcome to the Spiritual Love Podcast. I have a dear friend, sister goddess, Reiki Master Teacher Allison Rozelle here with me today, and we are going to be talking about self-love and building a relationship with yourself, which is absolutely paramount to your existence in this world. So, Allison, welcome. I am so thrilled to have you here today.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here speaking with you, and I know you and I have had conversations before about self-love. So it's going to be great for us to get on in there and have that juicy conversation.
Yes. So tell the people a little about yourself, who you are, what you do, and why is self-love something that's really important to you?
Okay. So my name is Allison Rozelle. I am the founder, CEO, and head mistress of the Sacred Pathway Academy, which is home of the Sacred Pathway Academy podcast, as well as various courses surrounding energy healing and Reiki. I am, as Giovanna said, a Reiki master, healer, and teacher. I'm also an intuitive oracle card reader. I am a chakra specialist. I'm also a newly certified moonologist, and I'm so excited about that.
Beautiful. Congratulations.
Thank you. So, I wear many hats, but it's all for the purpose of being the energy wellness and empowerment coach for Black women and women of color. So self-love for me is really about having that relationship with yourself and really knowing who you are. That's to me like the base and basis of self-love. You know, the love part is there, yes, and we start to learn how to do that, but self-love to me is me knowing who I am, standing in my power, and understanding that nobody has to understand that but me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's beautiful. Self-love is something too that's really important to me as well. And, you know, I practice that in my work as well as in my personal life. And I do believe that self-love is like the foundation for everything. The way that I look at life, because a lot of my work relates to love and connections with ourselves and other people, I realize that, you know, when how we feel about ourselves is what is reflected to us outwardly in the world, whether it's in our relationships with other people, whether it's in our relationship with money, how we relate to our work, the people that we work with, it really is the mirror for like our lives in so many different ways. So I love really getting in there and talking about self-love. And one of the things too, I think I noticed, like self-love, it can be surface level, and then it can go deeper into, into deeper layers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So when you said that, that kind of triggered something to me talking about, how we put conditions on love, even towards ourselves. So we make it, as you just said, it could be on a superficial level. Well, I can't really love myself until I can fit in this dress and look good. You know, I can't love myself until I reach this certain level of stature in like my career, my job, my business, my finances, so on and so forth. And it's all about making the outward be what determines what we love and know and understand about who we are, that's the thing that just stuck out to me when you said that. So I had to throw that in there because that was deep that you went there with that one.
Yeah, because a lot of times when we talk about self-love, or, you know, the image that comes up is like, you know, we go and we get our hair done, our nails done, you know, we may have brunch with our girlfriends, we're sipping on mimosas. And of course, those are self-loving acts, but sometimes it's not doing the work inwardly to transform the way that we feel about ourselves. Like, those are feel-good moments, like going to get a pedicure is super relaxing and nice. But is that truly helping me love myself? Or is it just something that I'm doing because it feels good and it makes me look good? And that's where I kind of, you know, talk about like how it can be surface level, where, okay, maybe our outward appearance looks good to the world. We look happy. We're having fun. But I have met so many women, and these have been like older women, like in their 70s, who are like, I don't know how to love myself. Like, I don't love myself, because no one teaches us that. And we grow up in a world, especially as Black women, that is not kind to us. And that tells us that everything from the shape, from the texture of our hair to the width of our hips to the way that we sound, to us having feelings, is inherently wrong. And so I just think it's very important that we do the excavation work that is really what self-love is all about.
I couldn't agree with you more. Like, you know, it's so interesting. And yes, you are right. There are so many women who are in their 60s, their 70s, and they don't know how to love themselves. And if we keep that in perspective, where you have, okay, these women who are considered baby boomers that had this block and this issue. Then you go to my generation, who is Generation X, which most people don't think about Generation X. They skip from boomers to millennials. But anyway, I won't pick on that. but yeah, to Generation X, and then Generation X, which started having millennials and Gen Z, and it keeps going. So it's like, if you think about it, if you yourself, no matter which one of those generations you fit in under the baby boomers, if you yourself are struggling with self-love, it's probably a trickle down from someone who didn't know how. So of course she couldn't teach you how to love yourself because she didn't know how to do it.
Right. And that is so true. And as a mom, so I have two girls. Kayla is 19, Savvy will be 7 soon. And so because I had to learn self-love, I had to learn what that was. It's something that I get to instill in my children. And so by me doing that, I'm hoping that I can, with at least within my household, bridge that gap to where no matter what anyone outside is telling them, no matter what I tell them, I need them to know that they are worthy, that they are deserving, and that they are amazing however they were created to be, no matter what they choose to do or who they choose to become. And it's unfortunate that our ancestors, you know, generations past, they didn't have the luxury or the right to love themselves. And so that's something too that I think is worth acknowledging. There is an aspect of self-love work that is ancestral healing.
Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh, yes. Like with the capital, yes.
Yes, ma'am. You know, even being in relationships, right? Black love is a revolutionary act. And again, that is ancestral healing as well. There's so many things that, you know, our ancestors did not have the privilege of doing because it was taken away from them. Not in the way that we have now. So I think that, you know, when we talk about Black girl magic and, you know, seeing healthy, happy, and whole Black and brown people, I think that's so beautiful. And I love that, you know, we have moved into a space as a collective where we are really focusing on the things that bring us joy and really starting to reclaim the luxuries of rest, the luxuries of play, of joy, of whatever it is, you know, our hearts are desiring us to do. I think that is absolutely beautiful. But what do you think is needed in order for that reclamation to happen for Black women who, you know, there's a million stereotypes, you know, we have so many things to deal with as women, as mothers, as individuals. What do you think is needed for more women, more Black women to really deepen their connection with themselves?
More conversations like this, more ability for us to come together and have these very open, honest, safe spaces to have these conversations, right? Really encouraging true sisterhood, and not on a superficial level, not on a level of, well, because you look like this or you don't look like this. You know what I'm saying? So it's us recognizing the fact that if we go back, let's take it this way. If we go back and look at ourselves historically, let's start in the motherland. And you had tribes, you had the village. So the village was very tight knit and the women worked together. There were things and tasks and things that women did together as a community, mm-hmm. which carried over into the slavery here, as well as, you know, things after slavery. Somewhere we kind of got lost where the closeness of women, the sisterhood, the gathering of us as women coming together and comforting each other, witnessing each other, laughing with each other, celebrating each other, you know, doing all these different things. Somewhere those things got lost. And I feel like once we got into the realm of me, look at me. It's all about me. It's me. The whole thing of community just got lost in the wash. So us coming together as Black women and women of color, having those moments, having these conversations, having these, you know, I love that these beautiful retreats are popping up, you know, and women are building mm-hmm. these relationships and, you know, the work that like you and I do where we're building these communities, you know, brick by brick to bring women together so that those relationships can be forged and put forth. That is the start, because you can't do this spiritual journey alone. The journey of life, period, you should not be doing it alone. You know, yeah. We weren't created to be islands. We were created to bond with one another. Why do you think we have the capacity to love, right? Why do you think we yeah. have that? You know, so it's a thing where I feel that if we could come together as women and have those opportunities, I think that would be a good start in the continuation of those kinds of conversations and acts together. I think that's huge.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I agree. There was a breakdown in community and within sisterhood. And you're right, like more of these conversations are necessary to break down whatever, you know, those barriers are. And there's a lot of them. I think a lot of it is rooted in just patriarchal BS. And mm-hmm. colonization mm-hmm. and racism and yes. sexism and all the isms.
Yes.
And so the more we connect and come together, the more we see that we are sisters, that we are the same. Many of us share the same stories and experiences. And instead of, you know, like you said, we are not meant to be on an island and love. Ooh. There's so many things I want to say about that. But, you know, love is one of our basic human needs. And mm-hmm. something that I am seeing more and more, which is becoming problematic, is the fact that so many people are afraid to love. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it comes off as, you know, I've done my work on me, so I'm not going to let you come into my life and ruin me. But that's coming from a place of fear and not love, because love is something that's going to expand. And when you've done your work, then you should not fear someone else being able to come in and break you down, because one, you'll have your intuition or your discernment to know, ooh, yeah, this doesn't resonate. Like you're not welcome here, because I can mm-hmm. see the type of, you know, person or type of energy that you are. But so many women, especially I see this a lot in Black women, because we have advanced ourselves, you know, we are going to retreats, we're doing healing work, we're tapping in with our ancestors, we are educating ourselves, starting businesses, rebuilding our credit, buying homes, excelling in life. And I can understand the want and the need to protect that, but I see so many women who are doing it at the sacrifice of love and of connection, and that scares me a little bit.
Scares me too. And that what it sounds like to me, because I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I see it as well. And what that comes down to me is, then what is the point of doing the shadow work, of going to these retreats, obtaining new information to put into your toolbox? Because just thinking about the fact that, you know, if you're learning how to read tarot cards or oracle cards, if you are learning Reiki, if you are learning how to do breath work, yoga, turning in, you know, doing different ways to eat, and you're learning how to balance your chakras and what that means. And, you know, if you're doing all of this work and you're obtaining all of this information and tools, the only way to test if the shit works is for you mm-hmm. to apply it. That's the only
way. Yeah.
So you shutting off your heart, you shutting off like, see, I'm going to keep you away because I don't want you coming and ruining my peace. If you've already got the peace within, they can't ruin it, because you've got your toolbox to know how to go back to that place within you to get your peace. If you're saying that this person can't come and disturb your peace or take whatever it is that you're afraid of losing, then my question is, do you really have it?
Exactly.
Do you really have it?
And so, I think too that...
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like that also speaks to the power of like the divine feminine. Because if we take it back, like you were saying, back to the motherland, women, even like if we look at a pride of lions, lionesses actually run the pride. It's not the lion.
It's not.
They will pick and choose. Okay, he looks like a strong lion. Let's bring him on in here. But mm-hmm. if that lion starts to become a problem, or he can't go do what he's supposed to do, they will either kill that lion or they will run him out of the pride.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as women, I think sometimes a lot of times we fear our power without even recognizing that is what we are doing.
That's good.
Because
that's good.
When we are operating in the strength of who we are as the divine feminine, as goddess, and we are owning our power, we create worlds.
Mm-hmm.
We can transform the lives. We can transform our own lives. We can transform the lives of the people around us just by how we carry and conduct ourselves. I think a lot of times either we fear having to do more work or we're fearing our power. Because let's face it, if we go out into a relationship, right, and I think this is where we as humans kind of falter, because self-love is work. It's not just let me slap this bundle on and, you know, go toast it up with my homies. No, it's going to be some crying. You're going to have to face some of the fucked up things that you did in the past and be able to still look at yourself and say, I love you. You know, we had to learn. We went through it. We learned. I looking back, I didn't like it. But you know what? It's part of my story. And, you know, I think we've come to a place where we are trying to just expect that certain things are easy. Being in a relationship is not easy. Facing your shadows is not easy. Unlearning all the things that you were taught about yourself that were not true, it's not easy. And so I think we get to a space where just kind of walling ourselves off and like, just, okay, I'm gonna be on my island and just like, it's easier over here because now I don't have to worry about anybody else. I can just focus on me. Yeah, that's easy. But does that bring you a sense of true peace and wholeness to be basically isolated? You're isolating yourself instead of allowing expansion. And one of the things that, you know, we have to realize, if you are not expanding, if you're not growing or changing or evolving, then you're not living, because the absence of growth is death. And so you have to really look at what it is that you're doing. Being by yourself is not self-loving. There are times, of course, when maybe we do need to go within and have that hermit mode time. But I don't want to live life alone. I want people. I need my sisters. I want some brothers. I need friends, family. Like, I want people. I want community, because that's how we were created. We're created, like you said, to be in community, not to be every woman for herself.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the beautiful part about that, though, Jovana, is if you want to be in community, if you want to have relationships, and that's romantic or platonic relationships, you still can set boundaries. That's another part about it. It's like, you know, again, we don't have to be afraid of losing. If we learn how to set those healthy boundaries with those people and within ourselves, because those are the lessons that we should have been learning in the shadow work, when we were right. in the dark with, you know, the ugly cry and and the, you know, being cleansed and purged of that stuff that really, as ugly as it is, turns into wisdom for you, because it's part of that magic toolbox now of, oh, I've been through this. Let me dig into my toolbox. I know how to handle this. You're not going to get me this time.
Right.
I know what to do. And being able to set those healthy boundaries, and but still being able to love and receive love and open ourselves up to, like I said, whether it's romantic love, platonic love, familial love, the love that we desire to have, doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. Doesn't mean that everybody is going to always act right and do everything the way that we feel that they should do it. But we also have to leave room for the fact that people are going to be who they are, and they're only going to meet you where they can go. You know what I'm saying? They can't, like, I don't believe in this whole cut everybody off thing. I just don't.
Right.
Cut off the parts or the ones that absolutely positively toxic. It won't work for them to be in your life. They don't need to be there. Yes, you can cut those. But cutting off someone just because they don't agree with you, cutting off with people that just because, like, you're on a spiritual journey and they're still on a journey in their own spirituality, which is Christianity or Judaism or whatever. You know, I don't believe in cutting people off like that, because I think even with that, we all still need each other and still can love each other and have, again, those healthy boundaries to say, well, I may not agree with what you're saying or how you're living, but I still love you, and I'm going to hold space for you and be there and everything else within a boundary. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is a conversation. Oh my God, Jovana, you and I could probably talk on this, like, whoo.
I know, right? It's funny because, you know, I used to be the cut off queen. Like, you look cut off, cut, karate chop, machete, just cutting people off with a quickness. But that was also during a time when I was really, really hurting. And, And like the people around me, they just were not conducive to my well-being in any way, shape, or form. For a lot of the people, it was like my pain and the things that I was going through, like they weren't trying to be of any type of support. And I started realizing that my pain, the things that I was going through, was entertainment for them. And that put me, you know, I was already in a very hurt, you know, vulnerable space. So like I was hyper vigilant, hyper protective of my energy just because of, you know, being in an abusive relationship, having, you know, toxic and unhealthy friendships around me. And I'm so grateful to say now that I have the most beautiful, sacred friendships, sisters, even people I have not yet to land eyes on in the physical world. Like we have not met in person yet, but you're one of my sisters and I trust you with my heart.
Yes,
and it's
same.
Such a complete transformation from the types of relationships and people that I, you know, had been used to being around in the past. And that's in part to me recognizing and realizing that when we truly love ourselves and we truly uplift ourselves, we'll start to align with different types of people. That's not to say that just because I love myself, I'm not going to meet trifling people anymore. Trifling people exist. They're going to continue to exist.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean I have to engage with them. Or if I do, like here, you get 0.5 millimeters of space around me and that's it. You don't get to come any closer. That's it. So, you know, it's having and enforcing those boundaries versus just leaving the door wide open for whoever and whatever to take up space in my world. And so for anybody who was like, well, no, like I have been there. I have been around the friends who backstab you, the people who use and abuse you and mistreat you. They smile in your face and talk behind your back. I have been there. And I'm telling you, there are people in this world who will love every piece of you, every part of you, but you have to let them in. You have to let them in.
Yeah, I totally agree, because yes, I've had friends who have like stabbed me in the back, in front, and everything else. And then sometimes I have to also take ownership for the fact that I handed them the knife. But we are not going to talk about that. But yeah, I mean, we've all had hurt. We've had pain. That is an unfortunate yet fortunate part of the human experience, because from the pain comes, again, a lesson, wisdom, understanding, right. You know, what can I accept? What won't I accept? What, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
With me, when it comes to friendships, I agree. Some of my absolute over the top, beautiful, just loving sisterhood friendships that I have are with women that I've never met in person, ever, you know, but I love them with my whole heart. And I would like jump in front of anybody and be like, oh, so you wrong. Don't touch her.
Right.
Don't do it. You know, don't come for Giovanna. I'm going to get you. You know,
right.
That's the way I feel. So if I had not been open to receive that love from you and any of the other women that I'm talking about, if I had to just let myself continue to be an island because I was so hurt and so tired of being hurt, if I hadn't done the work and allowed myself to realize, okay, these are the relationships that I'm looking for. Now I'm going to be specific. This is what I'm looking for in a friendship, in a romantic relationship, so on and so forth. This is what I can accept. This is what I cannot accept and will not accept. Learning how to use those things, again, going in my toolbox, and knowing that all the things that I've been through have brought me to this point right here, and I'm still here. So I give thanks for that. And understanding that these people that are in my life now, I wouldn't trade them for anything in the world, but they would not have been there had I not done the work and not been open to receiving.
Yes, that is so, so powerful. And I think too, it's not worth saying that, like, you know, the things that I've experienced in my life, you know, as horrific as some of them were, I've dealt with abuse, sexual assault, domestic violence, like just a whole heap of trauma and pain. But those things are what helped me to appreciate the beautiful experiences in life. If I didn't have them trifling heifers as friends in the past, I would not know how to appreciate a sacred goddess sister friend. Like, I wouldn't.
Right. And, that's true.
And like, I'm so grateful. Like you said, like, I would not trade it for the world. I will go to war for my goddess sisters. And it's just the most beautiful thing, because this is what a loving friendship, loving relationship looks like. And we can absolutely have that, especially as women. I think it's so important for women and young girls to see that we can be in circle, we can be in community, in sisterhood, and in support of one another. Like, it doesn't have to be competition. It doesn't have to be me against you or us against them. It can just be. And yes, it can be beautiful. It can be beautiful. I think that's one of the things too that has really done us a disservice, is a lot of times, you know, women are pit against each other, especially when it comes to when we start talking about dating and relationships, right? Mm-hmm. That whole, oh, I don't even want to get into that. Like, but just that whole side chick situation, like, oh, that just, my blood starts to boil a little bit. Let me just, but you know, it doesn't have to be that way. We can all win. There is enough for everybody, and you don't have to cut off anybody else's neck to get yours in this world. The whole idea of lack and scarcity is a lie. It is an illusion, and it just helps to perpetuate stereotypes and circumstances that are not beneficial or ideal for our growth in any way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one thing that I always say is when we talk about sisterhood, and I talk about my sisters, my sister is not my competition. She's my complement. You know, we're here to complement one another. We all have our own ingredient to that beautiful special sauce that is life. You know, my ingredient is different from Jovana's. That doesn't mean that Jovana is better than me, or I'm better than her. Just means we're different, you know, and I should celebrate who she is and, you know, be rooting for her to find that special someone who loves who she is and loves her completely. Cause I do believe in karma and, you know, the whole side chick thing that, you know, we won't touch that too much, but
not today.
Not today, but you know, I just say I believe in karma. What you put out into this world is what you get back. And you know, if you put out love and you come from a place of love, then you will surely get that back. It doesn't mean it may come right away, but it will come. So,
mm-hmm. And I think too, when you offer yourself to a limitation such as that, right? If you want to be loved, but you are willfully just decided, well, I'ma just, you know, be the side chick. Like, what are you saying about yourself and about what you deserve in life if you think that is, you know, an accolade? I think that comes from a deep place of wounding and hurt. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I'm perfect and that I have never done some shady shit in my life.
Right.
But I know, looking back, I was broken and I was not operating in my best and highest self. So when I see women who are, you know, I'll F your man and I'll do this and like, you need a hug, baby.
Right.
You need a hug. You need some Reiki. Let me see what spirit is trying to tell you.
Yes. You, please.
Like, I want to hug these women because they are hurting so mm-hmm. deeply. And men as well, because men yes. are, they are, yeah, they hurting bad. They are really hurting bad out here.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that I love seeing that there are spaces, more spaces starting to come forward for men that are focusing on men's healing instead of them continuing to focus on trying to blame women and bash women for
yes.
their issues, because that's a whole situation in and of itself. But I'm so mm-hmm. grateful that there are healing spaces being cultivated for men, especially Black men, mm-hmm. to put down their pain and their trauma, because all that is going to do is uplift our people, our community, and our children on a deeper level. And I am here for it, because we need it. We need it. Yes. We need it. We need it.
Yes, yes, and yes. I've been noticing that too. Like, when I go on Clubhouse, I've been seeing there have been like these rooms, and it'll be a pretty good amount of men in there. And they're talking yeah. about those things that, you know, like the deep healings and, you know, fixing themselves as far as like the relationships. So I shouldn't say fixing themselves, but working on themselves, healing those wounds, you know, understanding that it's okay for us to come together and be vulnerable as men, yeah. you know? And I love that. I love that, because as we are going through our healing journey, it's nice to know that a lot of Black men are picking that up and saying, you know what? I got to work on me too. And that is the yeah. beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing that a lot, especially in the younger generations mm-hmm. as well. Like, they on their stuff. I'm like, I love it. I love to see these, you know, young 20-somethings who are like, yo, I gotta get my stuff together. Like, they're able to come up with the knowledge and awareness of ancestral practices, you know, without them being as demonized, you know, as they were like when we were coming up. So I'm right. like, I love it. I love it. I love to see these young people embracing their spiritual gifts, tapping into their ancestors, and really reclaiming their sovereignty and their authority. And like, I am so hopeful that as time continues on, you know, future generations will grow up in wholeness and in love as default, and not something that we have to go back and get because it was beaten out of us or taken from us or talked out of us in any type of way. So I'm all here for the healing and the love.
Absolutely. Same. And yeah, it is younger, but I have seen some older gentlemen doing it too. So yeah. that's going to be very interesting to see how it begins to unfold. But I think it's just beautiful that it's happening at all.
I think so too. Yeah, I love it. I love that we as a collective are doing what we need to do to heal. And I know a lot of times when we turn on social media, it can look like a bunch of foolishness and fuckery is going on. But I believe that there is more healing and transformation taking place than, you know, the foolishness that usually gets placed front and center.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's unfortunate that the algorithms of a lot of social media tends to push the foolishness and fuckery more so than anything. But when you sift through all of that, you can still find some really good stuff there. So that's the good thing.
It is. And that's one of the things that I recommend to people for like a tip for like just mental wellness, self-care, is to really cultivate your social media feeds so that you are seeing things that are, you know, really feeding your mind and your body and your spirit. So that's something that I do. Make sure the people that you are following, the things that you are seeing and consuming are uplifting, that they make you feel good. I remember at one point in time, the most that I was seeing on my feed were plants, puppies, and like nature. And I guess things got shaken up again. So I started seeing some weird stuff and I was like, I need to, it's time to reorganize and recultivate this thing here. Because, you know, we spend so much of our time on these platforms, unfortunately. It's just what we do. And it's a lot of stuff out there that is subliminal, and is not helpful to anybody's cause. So I think that's one thing that, you know, I recommend to anybody who is coming to me, especially if you are dealing with like anxiety, you're already feeling stressed and overwhelmed, get off the internet.
Yeah.
Log off of Facebook, get off of Instagram, and focus on you. Pick up a book, put your phone down, turn it off, pick up a book, read something that makes you feel good about yourself.
Or get up and move your body. Get up and move your body.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what tip would you give? So what are some ways to move your body that you would recommend for someone that feels good and empowering?
Something that I've been doing a lot more for myself, because I was like, you know, I really want to make sure that I continue to keep that beautiful balance of divine feminine and masculine, because since we do live in such a patriarchal society, the divine masculine tends to tip the scale, you know, a little bit more in a lot of us. So something that I've been doing is a lot of sacral chakra work. So I'll stand up, I'll have some music playing, some really like sexy, something that makes me feel very feminine. Yes. And I'll just move my hips, just move them, just move them around, and just be very like, just body rolls and everything, just doing that just for me, not for anyone else, but just for me. And I tell you, as I'm doing that, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel feminine. It makes me feel beautiful. It makes me, it makes my creative juices start flowing. And I feel empowered by that, because, you know, as you're, even though you're moving your hips and you're activating the sacral, that's still part of all the matter of the root and the sacral and the solar energy that you're moving. Yeah. So all of those chakras are getting activated by your movement. So I love doing stuff like that. You could find belly dancing, right? Belly dancing is really good to get all that activation of movement. If you don't like to dance for whatever reason, get out and walk. You know, I know it's cold in a lot of places, so you may not be able to do that as much as you want, but walking can feel very good, especially if you're walking when it comes to like your posture, right? If you're looking down on the ground, that's not very good feeling energy. But if you're looking up, looking forward, looking around you confidently in that way, with your shoulders back and everything, and walking in that manner, it's very empowering. Hell, act like you on the runway and rip the runway. Okay. Go and play dress up in your closet. Find your most fierce outfit. And if you want some heels on, put them on. If not, that's fine. Put you some makeup on your face. Get yourself looking cute and rip the runway in your house. That can make you feel good, you know? It takes you to that place of remembering when you were a little girl and you played dress up and how fun that was, you know, and that activates. See, I'm all about doing things that will activate your energy and raise your vibration. So many acts of movement can raise your vibration and help you feel better. Sometimes we have low energy because we're not doing anything. It's not that anything is really wrong with us. We have low energy because we're not doing anything. An object at rest stays at rest. So get up and move.
Yeah, that's true. I love walking. I go every day. I get outside and like just let the sun just pour down on me. And I love going out at night, looking up at the stars. And yeah, so definitely movement is key, especially too, because we get so many emotions trapped in our body. So moving our bodies is so helpful for your, not only your physical well-being, but your mental and emotional too, your spirit, it just everything, yes. Y'all. Move your body. Move your body. This was amazing, Goddess Allison. Yay. Thank you for joining me on this episode. And of course, I would love to have you back. I know there are a million and one topics that we could continue to talk about. Where can we find you in the internet?
Okay, so on Al Gore's internet or Beyonce's internet, whichever way you want to say it. I'm Allison Rozell everywhere. So like all of my social media is Allison Rozell. You'll find me on Facebook, Instagram. You'll definitely find me in them Clubhouse streets. You definitely want to visit one of my rooms on Clubhouse. You can also go to, when you go to my Instagram and you go to the link in my bio, there's my link tree, and that has everything of ways that you can work with me and connect with me more. So yeah, that's how you find me.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And what is coming up in your world? What do you have going on in this year? Is there anything exciting that is unfolding for you?
Well, I currently still have enrollment open for anyone who wants to get their Reiki certification for levels 1 and 2. But this year I took a different direction of something I've been wanting to teach, and spirit finally gave me the thumbs up to do it. So I am teaching, and this course starts on 2/22/22, Reikipreneur Business School. So this is how you can get your Reiki or energy healing business on track, get you started. Talking about branding, talk about visibility, how to put some content together, just all that stuff. So I'm very, very excited about that. So I am just, that's something that I'm excited about most of all, because it's new. Yay.
Congratulations. Come through, Goddess. We need more healers and teachers and all of that. And I'm excited. I've been ready or waiting, wanting to start teaching. And I think we've talked about this before, and now it's like, okay, it's time. So I'm like, all right, spirit, lead the way. Tell me what to do. What do I need to do?
Yes.
Well, it has been an absolute honor. I adore you. I cannot wait for our next conversation. So yeah, this has been great, and I will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Spiritual Love Podcast, where we are helping you tune into the frequency of love. Peace.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the Spiritual Love Podcast. Let me know what you think by leaving a rating and review for me. For show notes and more to help you tune into the frequency of love, head over to spirituallovepodcast.com. Peace.